Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
When South Africa held the apartheid atrocities trial, there was an old black woman that was in attendance whose story illustrates God's love and care. The woman stood in an emotionally charged room, listening to white police officers acknowledge the atrocities they had performed in the name of apartheid. Officer Vandeblock acknowledged his responsibility in the death of the black woman's 8-year-old boy, which he says he shot at point blank range. Then other officers and he took the boy's body and they put it on a rotisserie in front of a fire and kept turning it until there was nothing left but ashes. 8 years later, Vandeblock returned and snatched the woman's husband. And while he was being beaten and tied, he went back and grabbed her so she could watch as they poured gasoline over his still living body and set him aflame. Her husband's last words were, "Forgive them." Now, Vandeblock waited upon the commission's judgment. The judgment of South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission was held back while they first asked the woman what she wanted. And she said, "I want three things. First, I want Mr. Vandeblock to take me back to where they had burned my husband so I can gather the dust and give him a proper burial." She said, "Second, I know that I have given all that I have. This man and the officers took everything that I have. And as they took my son and my husband from me, I still had a lot of love to give. So I ask that twice a month, Mr. Vandeblock might come to the ghetto where I live, and he might spend the day with me, where I can love and care for him and mother him twice a month. And third," she said, "I want Mr. Vandeblock to know that God forgives him, and I forgive him too. And I would like to be led over to where he is so I can embrace him, and he will know that my forgiveness is real." She was led over to where Mr. Vandeblock stood, and seeing her coming, he fainted. Someone began to sing, "Amazing Grace, and then another, and then another, until the whole courtroom sang Amazing Grace. How wonderful the sound that saved a wretch like me. That is the way God loves and cares for us. While we were still His enemies, while we were doing unspeakable things to Him and those He came for, He loved us and said to the Father, "Forgive them. They know not what they do." Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning with joy in our hearts that You care for us so much, that You have sent Your only begotten Son into this world to care for us, to love us, to forgive us, and set us free from those sins that bind us to this world. May His prayer in John 17 be absolutely ringing in our hearts. May we be one as You and He are one. Father, I ask once again that You cast my words out. People didn't come to hear me. They came to hear from You. May everything I say that is of me just be cast out into the sea of forgetfulness. May no one remember it again. But those words that are from You, those words of care and love and forgiveness and grace and mercy, may each heart that needs them hear them today. May everyone come to a saving knowledge that You have sent Jesus Christ to us to care and love us until that day when He will be once again with us and lift us up into Your care. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers of the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a much more excellent name than they. Jesus, whose name in Hebrew is Yeshua, a word that we translate Joshua, which shares the same meaning. But Jesus Christ is the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the One who comes to set us free. He put on Himself humanity that we might put on ourselves divinity. He became the Son of Man that we might be the children of God. He was born contrary to the laws of nature. He lived in poverty and obscurity, and only traveled out of the land of his birth once, and that was in his childhood. He had no wealth, no political influence. He had neither training nor education as the world views it. And yet, in his infancy, he startled a king. In his youth, he puzzled the doctors of theology. And in his manhood, he became ruler of all nature. He walked upon the billows, upon the waves. He calmed the sea. He healed multitudes without medicine and without any charge. He is the one who we say never wrote a book, but his teachings could fill all the books and all the libraries in all the world. He never wrote a song, and yet his themes have created more songs than all the songwriters put together. He never founded a college. Yet those who study his words are greater in number than all the schools that we have on the earth today. Jesus Christ. He is the star. He is the chosen one. He is the star of astronomy. He is the rock of geology. He is the lion and the lamb of zoology. He is the healer of all hurts. He is the harmonizer of all disputes. He is the one who touches us and heals us and makes us free. He makes us into a new being. He is the one. Throughout history, great men have come and gone, yet he alone lives on. Herod the king could not kill him. Satan could not seduce him. Death could not destroy him. And the grave could not hold him. He is the one who spoke and the universe began, and it will roll back at his coming again. He is the one who words cannot describe. He is our new revelation. He is more than words can describe or thoughts can contain him. He is our all in all. He gives his life that we might be saved from our sins. Having completed that work, the Scripture tells us that he sits down at the right hand of the Father. It's but a small illustration of his love and care for you and for me. In our world, angels have taken on a great significance. But God loves us more than angels. Angels are God's servants who come to minister to you and to me. It's easy to lose sight, I guess, of that fact. When we're in a troubled world, a world of confusion, it's easy to believe that we got kind of lost in the crowd. When there are billions of people, it's easy for some of us to believe that we're isolated, that no one knows. But God cares about you and me. Yes, you live in a world, in a society where there are throwaway people, where people are not valued, where people are said that they profile, they're valued as long as they can perform, and then we get rid of them. Everybody turns their backs on you. Remember that Jesus loves you, and you are highly valued by the only one that counts. In chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjugation to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, 'What is a man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjugation under his feet. For in that he put all in subjugation under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we who do not yet see all things, but are put under him, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it is fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things made, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed. Call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of your assembly, I will sing praise to you.'" Jesus came into a world to the inhabitants of that world that said to basically all of us, "You're in the way." You're in the way. In Jesus' world, women were owned by their husbands, fathers. Children were allowed to lie out in the cold or the heat, without water, without any comfort, to die. Aliens were considered dogs, less than their creatures that they looked upon as men and women. They were people of no value. They had no rights. They didn't exist. He came into a world that did not care, and he told them of a God who cared about everyone. And he illustrated his care for people by telling each person they were value to him. Jesus came into a world that did not care. He taught them that God cared. He demonstrated his love by his care for healing the sick, which the world turned aside from. He touched the leper, which the world was afraid of. He reached out to the lowest person in society, the women, the children, the thief, the one caught in the actual act of adultery. He came back for you and me to tell you how much he cared and loved you. We were all the least of these related to Jesus. We're his brethren. He calls us brothers. He took the tax collectors, the sinners, the wine dibbers, the outcasts, the poor, the homeless. And he loved them. He came to serve as he has come to serve you and me. From the earliest time, the church has tried to depict Jesus as something other than a man. He was considered deity. And you see photographs or pictures of him. I shouldn't say photographs. See paintings of him with halos depicted around his head. He is written about as being the second Adam. And yet, he was tempted as you and I were and are. He shared our flesh, our blood. He experienced everything we experience except the guilt of sin, for he was sinless. And yet, when he laid down his life for us on the cross, he even experienced, I believe, that when all of our sins were poured out on him. He became sin for us. He was a man of grief, acquainted with sorrow. He didn't come as an angel pretending to be like us. He was like us. That is the reason he could be used by God as a sacrifice for us. He calls all those who follow him friends. He calls each of us a brother or sister. God's love and care knows no limit. His forgiveness knows no limit. We're called by Jesus to have the same love and grace and forgiveness to all those that he has made, those made in his likeness, for everyone is made in the likeness of God. We are called to have mercy and grace upon each other. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that calls each of us to follow him. He is everything. Today, I would like you to listen to his voice, not mine, not even Catherine's who made me cry, but to the voice that can say to the dead, rise, and we rise. The one who can open the grave and take us from the bondage of the grave to live with him on high. He said in John, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. He is coming again to set us free from the bondage that we still live in this corrupted world. You and I have an opportunity to give ourselves to him today, to once again embrace life. I would that every one of us would do that. We've had one come to Christ already this morning. And we say hallelujah for that. if anyone else would like to come and turn their lives to Christ, this is the opportunity. His invitation is to everyone, for he knows no limits. He opens his arms wide and says, "How much do I love you this much?" He says, "Come to me, you who are heavy laden. I will give you rest." To those of us who have wandered away, and perhaps one time we accepted Christ, but we have gone our own way instead of going his way, he says to us, "Return like a prodigal. Come back. I will receive each and every one of you." He says to those who are sick, "Come, be anointed by oil and prayed for by the elders." He says to each and every one of us, "Come." The Spirit says, "Come."
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.